Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalms 120 and 121. Psalm 120, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. A song of degrees. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty, with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Psalm 121, a song of degrees. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. We enter now into a new grouping of psalms. These next 15 psalms are called the songs of degrees. The songs of ascents in some translations. And there are two schools of thought which are not necessarily contradictory as to what the ascent means. The first grouping of scholars say, well, there were 15 steps up the Solomonic temple to get into the holy place, to get into the temple grounds. 15 steps up. And so 15 songs of going up. And so 15 steps. And so there was according to these men, a ceremonial tradition where the Levites would step and then they would sing a psalm. Then they would step and they would sing a psalm. All the way up the 15 steps in ceremonial pomp, going up at certain times of the year into the temple ground. That's a nice tradition. It may be true. Historically speaking, there are those who do speak to it. However, the majority of scholars, and again, I don't think these two traditions are necessarily contradictory. The majority of scholars use these 15 psalms as the songs of the pilgrims as they traveled three times in the year from all over Israel and Judah to Jerusalem. And these are the psalms of ascents, or the psalms of going up to Jerusalem. Remember that Jerusalem was the high place in the Hebrew mind, and that everywhere else you went down. We have a map, north, south, east, west, and someone somewhere said north is going to be up. It could have been south, it could have been east, it could have been west, right? To the Hebrew mindset, east was the primary point of the compass at the sun rising. But for our Western culture, we decided north would be up. And so when you go south, you're going down. When you go north, you're going up. You go to the left and you go to the right when you go west and east. Okay, to the Hebrew mindset, it wasn't the points of the compass, but the elevation of Jerusalem on that temple complex between those two hills, Zion and Moriah, such that then everybody went up when they went into Jerusalem. So even though Samaria was to the north, you'll often read in the scripture they went down to Samaria. Well, that means they descended down off of those hills into the Jordan Valley, traveled along the Jordan River, and went up to Samaria. That's what that means. Okay, so the songs of ascents then, I think for my own understanding, I favor the second view more than the first, although I don't think that they need to be contradictory. Both could be true. Now, interestingly, these 15 psalms are arranged in a particular symmetry that not only brings them together as a group, but also places the 8th psalm at the center. And if we consider that the songs of ascents are indeed those goings up of the pilgrims to Jerusalem, it changes what we think about the interpretation of these psalms. This is one of the reasons that background studies, introductory studies, are very important to our understanding of Scripture. Now, let me show you what I mean. Okay, I'm going to read you a quotation from Ernst Wilhelm Hengstenberg. What country do you think he was from? That's right, he was a German, a faithful 19th century scholar, wrote much on the Old Testament, a wonderful Hebraist, Old Testament man, very, very good. His commentaries on Ezekiel, commentaries on the Psalms, and he did a lot of wonderful Bible exposition in the 19th century. When much of Germany was not doing that, Hengstenberg was faithful. So Ernst Wilhelm Hengstenberg writes this: "The whole is grouped around Psalm 127, which was composed by Solomon, who stands in the middle between the first and last pilgrim poets. On both sides stands a heptade of pilgrim songs." Heptade meaning seven. "A heptade of pilgrim songs consisting of 2 psalms composed by David and 5 new ones which have no name. The 7 is divided both times by 4 and 3. Each heptade contains the name of Jehovah 24 times. Each of the connected groups, 120 through 123, 124 through 126, 128 through 131, and 132 through 134, 12 times. In other words, 12 times on one side of the center and 12 times on the other side of the center, the name Jehovah is used. This cannot be accidental and renders it evident that the collector of the whole must be identical with the author of the nameless Psalms. The symmetry is emphasized in that one instance, the abbreviation Yah is used in place of Jehovah, so that you have 12 and 12, in other words. He could have used Jehovah instead of Yah, but so that he would have 12 and 12, in the one instance in the first half, he said Yah in the original instead. So, being the curious-minded pastor that I am, what I did was I went to the Hebrew and I started counting. Okay, is this really true? Do we have 12 and 12? Because my first count was the English, and it was 13 and 12. And I'm thinking, aha, gotcha. You know? So then I went to the Hebrew and started counting the 12 and the 12. And you know what? He's right, because one of them is the abbreviated version. So it's obvious then that there is a symmetry here between these 15 psalms in such a way that they are to be considered together. And this will become especially important when we get to 127 and we read in the Songs of Ascents, in the middle of the Songs of the Ascents, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it." I wonder what house we're talking about then. So it makes it plain then how introductory studies can indeed be helpful to us. If also these are, and we'll get to this when we get to 121, but let me just whet your appetite a little bit. If also these are the songs of ascents, when the writer says in Psalm 121, "I will lift mine eyes unto the hills," what hills are we talking about? Any old hills? You know, I used to live in Southern California, most of you know that, and there was a place where I would go visit my mentor. One of my pastoral mentors, his name was Charles Svensson. And he lived in a beautiful little city in the foothills of the San Gabriel Mountains called La Cañada. So the freeway that ran along those foothills was called 210. That was the name of the freeway, 210 freeway, or the foothill freeway. And then just below the foothill freeway was the old road before the freeway went in, and it was called Foothill Boulevard. And it was, that's right, right along the foothills. And there's a Lutheran church on Foothill Boulevard that has a very, very large statue out front. And it's not a statue of the divinity or anything like that. It's the statue of a worshiper. And it's got to be 60 or 70 feet tall. It's big, really big. It's a monument that you can see from everywhere. And in fact, you can pull it up and see it on Google Maps. Okay? So it's got this guy, and he's standing there, and he's looking north to the hills. And he's got his hand stretched out like this. And at the base of the statue, it says, "I will lift mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help." Nice sentiment. But I don't think that's what Psalm 121 is talking about. I think Psalm 121 is talking about lifting my eyes to the hills where Jerusalem is. From thence cometh my help. It's not that, you know, my God's the God of the hills and your God's the God of the valleys. And so we know how that worked out. That didn't work out very well. Okay, so there you go. Now, all of this to say that these introductory studies, they are very, very helpful to our interpretation overall. So, turning then to Psalm 120, the psalmist is in distress and he cries out unto the Lord. And notice, no ado, no lengthening of the phrasing, and he heard me. Very quick, very clear, very direct. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. And so the Lord takes up the charge of those who would bring slander against his people for their faithfulness. And notice the magnitude of the judgment that comes when one would rise up against the people of God with slanderous words. What shall be given unto thee? What shall be done to thee, false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Well, that's not what we want. Coals of juniper, because juniper, and it's oily and waxy, it's one of the hottest burns. That's why he uses juniper there. All right, so then, verse 5, he goes on, "Woe is me that I sojourn in Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar." Mesech and Kedar, they are the people of the ancient Near East that have no home at all. They are they're the true manifestation of those nomadic tent dwellers that everybody says, "Oh, how romantic that would be. What a wonderful..." It's no fun. It's no good. The psalmist tells us here, "Woe is me that I dwell in Mesech, that I inhabit the tents of Kedar." It is not a good time. Oh, I know, Arabian Nights. How could it be anything but wonderful? It's not so good. That's what the psalmist tells us. There is no sure home. There is no sure habitation. There's no protection. And all of that is true. And you're always moving. And there's just no stability to it. Remember that David's lament was, "I dwell in a house of cedar, and the Lord," can I bring it into the psalm here, "dwells in like Kedar." He's in a tent. There's something wrong with that. And so on. All right, so then, "My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace." I'm sojourning in a land of peace haters. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And I think the psalmist here characterizes what it means for us to be a pilgrim in this world. And so we may endeavor to speak peaceably, right? To speak gospel truth is to speak peace. And yet when we speak that, we may find that our hearers, they are for war. They hear more, if I can put it this way, of the offense of the gospel rather than the gospel itself. So that's Psalm 120. Psalm 121, "The hills are those that are in the sight of the pilgrims. They are the hills upon which Zion sits." And so they come from all over Israel. And when they approach and when they get close to Jerusalem, they see those hills in the looming on the horizon, and they look up and they say, "I will lift my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And so we are going to worship the Lord who made heaven and earth, and we're going to worship him upon His holy hills. Remember Psalm 87 a few weeks back? Upon the hills of holiness, He has set His foundation. What hills are we talking about? Obviously, we're talking about the hills of Zion there. The whole psalm goes on to talk about the wondrous estate of Zion. All right, so my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand, and so on. Over and over again, we hear these great and comforting phrases about the Lord's protection over His people. He is a shade. Of course, that's a metaphor, right? When the sun beats down on you, that's a metaphor for an affliction. That's a metaphor for hardship and for trial. The Lord is thy shade, it says. The Lord is thy protection. The moon will not expose your position by night, in other words. There are no such promises that are made to those outside the covenant. If you do not belong to the Lord, you can have no expectation of this deliverance then and this help. But the Lord does not sleep. He does not slumber. He will always keep the feet of His people. Of course, keeping the feet is an idea of He is keeping their freedom, right? All right, so then the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. A lot of repetition in that psalm. Repeating over and again the same idea of the Lord's protection and the affording of freedom to His people in that protection. Thus ends the reading then of Psalms 120 and 121.